roles of parenting. Miss Dorothy, unmute yourself.
Hi, I'm Dorothy. I'm so grateful to be here. My gosh, you know, I don't know how much I can follow behind all of the great speakers that I've already heard today. Boy, I tell you, it's been a blessing for me, and it's been a wonderful day. You know, what a wonderful Easter weekend, you know? And I tell you, Maddie, thank you so much for asking me. And Yvonne, you're just a part of us. I'm sorry. You're just a part of us. Whether you're in California or wherever you are, I see I can't even keep up with where you are half the time. But thank you so much for this Al-Anon Without Borders. I'm supposed to talk about the highs and lows. Now, I don't have a timer, Maddie, so you know, I'm long-winded, so you watch my time, okay?
Thank you.
What brought me into Al-Anon is many years ago, my husband and I were apart because of his drinking. I had three little children that I was moving around from place to place, and I was just trying to stay with my husband, trying to raise my children with their daddy, and I was just determined to just hang in there. I got married at a young, just when I was young. I had my daughter, had two sons after that, and we lived in Kansas City, Missouri at that time. Back in 1964, I got out of high school and went to Kansas City. I'm originally from Arkansas, and had not grew up around alcoholism, didn't know anything about how it was growing up. I didn't grow up with anybody. I was the youngest. I'm the youngest of five. And my mother kind of sheltered me when I was growing up. I came in the later years. So I didn't know anything about that. But when I got out of high school, I went to Kansas City to be with my brother and to go to college, to get a good job and everything. And I, you know, proceeded to work, enrolled in college. And then 1968, I started working for the telephone company in Kansas City. Had my daughter already, born in 1965. And, you know, I was just working and talking about the high. You know, I was working and doing well and trying to be a good mother, a good wife, you know, and trying to do what I was supposed to do. 4 years after my daughter, I had my older son. We were doing just fine. My husband worked for the city of Kansas City Water Department. Then we went to California, and he went to school to be a CNC machinist. Worked for Bethlehem Steel for many years. He was at that time drinking. In fact, he was drinking when I first met him, but I didn't realize he was an alcoholic. He was a functional alcoholic, I guess, way back then. But he was the kind that drank from Sunday until he would drink Sunday evening until from Sunday. No, I'm sorry. Let me go back. He would start drinking Friday evening, and then he would drink until Sunday evening. Every weekend, he thought he had to go to the bars because he said he owed that to himself. He was a hardworking man and provided for the family. Sure, he did. But it was chaos every weekend. He would come in drunk. And I, you know, just sometime would just hate when it would Friday evening would come. But after so long, I got used to it. But I never got used to the arguments and the fighting and whatnot, you know. And I after I had my three children, you know, I continued to live with him and try to, you know, do what I was could do and trying to work and just be, you know, have a good family. But after a while, I had to leave. It got to be too much. So then I had to leave. So I left I left Kansas City. We moved to California. I went to Arkansas, went to Little Rock, Arkansas with the telephone company at that time. We were apart like 10 months and he moved from Kansas City to California. And I transferred October 1973 to California, work in San Leandro, California. Things seemed to turn around for a bit there. I had a good position. He was working for Bethlehem Steel as a manager, CNC. Things were just kind of coming together, looking so much different, you know. But about a year and a half after, you know, I was there, I could see things starting to change again. At that time, of course, he never stopped the weekend partying, drinking. He was never home with us on weekend because he said I was no fun. I didn't drink. I didn't drink with him. I never was a drinker anyway. And so he would go out with his buddies, his so-called buddies, and he would drink on the weekend. Well, like I say, every weekend was just very chaotic, and I just got tired. 1975, after so long, I left him again, went back, transferred back to Little Rock, Arkansas from San Leandro, California. I worked in San Leandro, but actually we lived in Oakland. And I continued to just work. I took my children. We left April of 1975. We went on the Greyhound bus, just a few clothes. I left everything behind. I kind of slipped away because I left overnight. I had already put in for my transfer back to Arkansas. It was my last day to work. See, God provides, and I know today, you know, he worked things out because that I would pray about things and I would just say, Lord, just take care of us. And he did. He took care of us. You know, I never got hurt, never got in trouble. I was afraid to call the police on him when he was beating me up. But I went ahead and just tried to just stay out of the way and keep my mouth shut and just try to keep peace. But after so long, that just got old. And I left California and left and went transferred back to Little Rock. And so I was away there for 20 years. We were apart for like 20 years. I raised my three kids. I did the best that I could do. At the time, I worked two jobs. My son, oldest son went to college. I was working two jobs, trying to provide for the family, doing the best that I could do. My daughter was the oldest. She had, I did so very well in school and everything. And I was just, you know, just going right along. Things were just, you know, going just real well. And we got a little small house in Little Rock. And we united with the church right in the neighborhood there. And things were just, God was just working things out. And, you know, I know what prayer can do. It did for me because this was way before I knew Al-Anon. We're talking 1976 after I had got back to Little Rock. I didn't know anything about Al-Anon then. No one even had, I had never even heard of Al-Anon. No one even talked to me about 12-step. At that time, my sons were teenagers. My daughter was getting ready to get out of high school. And she had a child. She was pregnant at the 12th grade. And she had this baby. And, you know, we were, you know, just doing what we could for the child. His dad was military. So we didn't have financially. He didn't have to, you know, want for anything. Things just worked out, you know. And but After about 2 years after that child was born, my daughter got into drugs and alcohol. And I just could not believe it. I said, how in the world? I am scuffling and doing the best that I could do with these children. And how in the world could she do something like this? And it really just broke my heart. And she was leaving her child behind. And I just didn't know what to do, but just to pray and just try to do the best that I could do with that 2-year-old. Thank God for my sons that they were there to help me out, to do what we could do for them. The other grandmother also lived in the neighborhood, his dad's mother. We lived in the same neighborhood. So she was able to help me out from time to time. Whenever I needed a break, she would take my grandson and take care of him. And she had 2 daughters, and they would take care of him as well. And, you know, he never had to worry about anything. My daughter was out there, and she was doing this, that, and the other. I didn't know where she was half the time. And my sons would say, Mama, we just have to take care of Dedrick as best we could. I wanted to go where she was so many times. I didn't know any better. I said, you know what? I just need to get the police and just go and get her from wherever she's hanging out and leaving this child. And sometimes, you know, so that I would not be fussing at her, she would take the child with her. And oh my God, I just could not stand that, because then I didn't see them sometime for 2 weeks at a time. And people would tell me, I saw your daughter and your grandson here and there, you know, different places that were bad places. That would just scare me so bad. So my son said, Mama, we can't go in those areas where you want to go and get Yvonne, said, because that's a drug haven, and they will kill us if we go and try to get Yvonne or call the police and tell them what's going on. We can't do that. And I said, well, you know, I don't know what to do, but I said, next time she brings that child, I'm going to keep him, and I'm going to call the police if she tried to take him away. Well, I was just hurt at that time. I knew that I couldn't, because I didn't have custody of him at that time. But I found out that she was getting that check from his daddy every month. She knew when that military check was coming. So she was ready for it at the mailbox. And I found out that she was taking the check and cashing it and lying about that the check must have gotten stolen or gotten misplaced or whatever. She was paying for her drugs with it. Oh, that hurt me so bad. So the other grandmother say, well, Dorothy, I don't think that check is getting stolen. She said, more than likely, Yvonne is taking that check, and she's probably owing the drug man. She's probably paying for drugs. Sure enough, she was. She said, I suggest you get a P.O. box just temporarily for maybe about 6 months and put nobody's name on it but you and your older son, Herman Jr. And that's what I did. That worked like clockwork. No more checks were misplaced or anything. I had gotten in touch with the father, my grandson, dad in military, and he worked so that I could get temporary custody of my grandson. So then, therefore, after that, the checks came under my name. That way I didn't have to worry about her lying about these checks. And there she started getting arrested. After that, she didn't have no more money. She started getting arrested. A couple of times she was shot and whatnot, went to jail and different things. But let me just kind of back up. Before it got to this point, there was another friend of mine that had a son that was into drugs and alcohol. The lady was, we all were in the same church, and her son was older than my children. And he was back and forth in jail. And she was trying to keep him from going to jail. And she was spending all of their savings, she was spending saving bonds and every bit of money that she could get to keep that son out of jail. And I sat my children down and I told them way back at that time, I said, you know what? If y'all get into some trouble when you know that you know better, you break the law, you're on your own. I said, I'm not going to be spending out no kind of money going to get you out of jail. I didn't believe in that. I said, you see what is happening to, I was telling them about this lady, and they remembered this guy. He was a few years older than my daughter. And he was back and forth in jail. I said, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to start it. I did not believe in it. My daughter kept going to jail. She kept going to jail, but I did not get her out at any time. I was thankful that I had my hands on her son. And I said, I just have to let her go. I didn't know what else to do. I would just pray and pray, and I would talk to a pastor at church, you know, and the church was praying for my daughter. And I just had to just let her go. And she was out there, but I had my grandson. Later, after that, you know, kind of slowed down for a little bit, I was still able to hold on to my grandson, let my daughter go. Then my younger son started drinking, and he was, thank you, Maddie. He had started drinking, and he dropped out of high school right at the 12th grade. He started drinking. I had to, you know, I said, well, you know, you can't stay here. You're going to have to go in the military. You're going to have to go back to school. You got to get a job. You cannot stay here and use my sources. I don't think so. And so then I had to put him out. But, you know, I'm trying to finish my story. Both my daughter and my son, you know, got into the drugs and alcohol. And it was something that I had to just pray about. I had to, you know, just put this in God's hands. And I had to just, you know, let them go. I was working hard. You know, I was not communication with their daddy. He was still in California. We lost probably 15 years of those 20 years that we were divorced. And when he found me, I was in San Antonio. Our daughter continued to work, be in Little Rock. My younger son was still in Little Rock. He never left. After my husband we got back together in 1995. We remarried. Our daughter was just about at that time homeless. She had just thrown her life away. We went to Little Rock and found where she was, and he talked to her. And at that time, my husband was already 7 years in the AA program. He talked to her and told her if she wanted a different life, you know, that he was there to help her. I was so grateful for that. At that time, I started going to Al-Anon. That is what brought me into Al-Anon. Going to the open AA meetings with him, I would hear him talk about things that, you know, I wish that I had heard many, many, many years before that. But nevertheless, I would let him know that I was very, very proud of him. Then just a few weeks after that, my daughter called and was ready. I was already retired. He sent me back to Little Rock to get her, and she went into recovery right away. My younger son was still out there. He never thought that he had a problem. He did not want to talk to his daddy. He didn't want to have anything to do with his daddy. His daddy tried to talk to him, to try to get him to start going to some meetings, to go to recovery, whatever. He didn't want to hear anything he had to say. He was very arrogant toward his daddy. So I had to just pray about that and just leave that alone. 2009, my daughter had gotten a good job and everything, working her program. She continued after she went into recovery, went back to school, got her master's degree in social work, got a very good job, and was working her program. She had 10 and a half years clean and sober. 2009, she had a massive heart attack and died right away. That really threw me again, you know. Thank God I was in the Al-Anon program. That was just a shock, and she had no symptoms of heart problems as I know of or anything. So she passed away in 2009. Her son took care of the services. During the time that she was working her program, they bonded. When he got out of high school in 2002, she came to Virginia on the Greyhound bus to see him march across the stage to get his diploma. What a blessing that was. It really helped me so much. I was just grateful that she and him bonded before she passed away. And, you know, I tell you, God is so good. And then after a few years, my younger son kept drinking. Pretty soon he was starting to have problems, back-to-back emergency surgeries that took him down real fast with the alcohol. He passed away with an alcoholic seizure in 2012, along with my brother. My son died November, my brother died December 2012. My son never would go in treatment, never thought he had a problem. He died drunk. But I'm just grateful to God that many years before it got to this point that I worked the program. And I tell you, it has helped me to get to where I am today. And I just want to say this before my time runs out. You know, I did the best that I could do with what I had. My first sponsor in San Antonio used to tell me, Dorothy, don't worry about what you didn't do. Worry about what you're doing now and just be grateful for how you are working things together today. And I never shall forget that. She told me that, you know, when you have done all that you knew to do, you've done enough. And that stayed with me also today. But I like to say this. Yes, I've had some storms in my life. Lots of tornadoes and lots of hurricanes. But today I have sunshine. Yes, 5 months ago, I lost my husband. He was 32 years sober. Thank God that I was in a program. My sisters and brothers in the program was there for me. And I just thank God today that I work a program that where I know that God is in control and he is keeping me. And I tell you, this has been the best thing that ever happened to me. My sisters and brothers at my church has been there for me. Al-Anon family members has been there for me. And I'm just grateful. Thank you for letting me share that.
Can we